Well, it is always a privilege to open up God's Word and minister to God's people and be ministered to by God's people. I certainly appreciate the music we had as we came together to worship the Lord. What an encouragement. Thank you, Todd, and the whole music team that put together a lot of effort and work to make our time together encouraging and enjoyable, and it's just good to be here. It's good to be back in the South for a little while. We were here back in January, just before we left for the great white north of Wausau, Wisconsin. We've been up there since the middle of January, and so we were here on a Sunday evening, just I think the Sunday night before we pulled out of Florence, South Carolina on Thursday morning to make a trip. We had almost everything we owned. Couldn't get it all in the truck. And I'm still asking myself and Denise why we drug some of the stuff 1,200 miles across the country, and it's still sitting in boxes. But we are doing very well. We're adapting well to the Midwest. It's a different culture, but it's a beautiful part of God's creation. We are up in north central Wisconsin, about 2 hours north of Madison. So we can't quite hear the groanings of the people in Madison and the teachers down there. We're about 3 hours east of Minneapolis, so that kind of gives you an idea of where we are location-wise. Everybody's doing good. Grace graduated from Wausau West High School this past May with expectations to head to Emmaus Bible College in the fall for at least a year. Kind of see how her first year goes, and then we'll see what her plans are after that. Luke finished up his freshman year at Emmaus, and he's planning on going back for his sophomore year. So we're glad to be a little closer to them and to some good friends, Israel and Erica, and of course John and Heather are over there, and John Glock and many others. So we can certainly get over there a lot quicker than we could when we were in the Carolinas. The Lord is doing a good work over at Emmaus. And Hope finished up her freshman year at Wausau West, so she'll start her sophomore year there at this new school. It's, like I said, it's a different culture, but we found the people to be extremely friendly and hospitable. We're at a good meeting up there, Bible Truth Chapel. My mom and dad and Bob and Lucille have had a chance to get up there and visit with the people so they can testify that they're good folks and they're taking good care of us. But we certainly miss the familiarity of the South, but the Lord has us where He wants us, and I keep reminding myself we could be somewhere crazy like China. So we're still actually giving thanks to the Lord that we're just in Wisconsin, but it does get cold up there. I guess it was either the first or second Sunday morning we were there in January and checked the Weather Channel, and it said the temperature was -20. And I thought, well, I've got to step outside and see what -20 feels like. And I got a good feel of it and went back inside. And but yeah, it's cold and lots of snow. We had about 82 inches of snow this past winter, which seems like a lot until you think about the Upper Peninsula, which is just north of us, and they get close to or over 200 inches of snow. So we're not doing so bad. But we are glad to be here today, and thank you for your warm welcome as you always give to Denise and I and the girls. Luke is out in Washington State this summer working at Lakeside Bible Camp on summer staff. He's been exposed to a lot of different camp opportunities and ministry opportunities by being at Emmaus. And at one point in the school year, they have a Christian ministries seminars and camps come from all over to recruit these students from Emmaus to come work, and he found himself out 30 miles north of Seattle in Clinton, Washington, serving out there. So we're excited that he's serving the Lord this summer. I'm looking forward to going up to camp this week for senior teens, and then next Monday we'll be heading back to Wausau after a brief trip to Bethany Bible Chapel in Conway. I'll be speaking down there the next Sunday. So thank you for your prayers for this restful vacation I'm having. So in the busyness of this time. I also had an opportunity to do a wedding, officiate a wedding for an old friend Friday night. So, you know, when someone passes away or when we think about, in that situation, we think about maybe a legacy, you know, what their legacy was. and the legacy they've left. And just recently I began to think about my legacy, and not that I'm totally interested in a legacy. We hear presidents and the legacy they'll leave, but maybe on a much smaller scale to the people we encounter, and even more so with our family and with our children. And I thought if we're going to leave a legacy, the best way to do that is to live a legacy. I think Crawford Loritz down in Atlanta has a little 30-second or 60-second blurb on the radio once a week. I think it's called Living a Legacy. But these 10 biblical foundations that I want to talk with you today are not necessarily the top 10 of all biblical foundations that I want to teach to my children, but they were 10 that came to mind as I was thinking through this topic to share with you today. And some may think, well, you know what, Eric, I'm a grandpa or I'm a great grandpa, and my kids are grown and they've moved on. And I thought, well, you know what, that's okay, because we still have an opportunity. Today is a new day, and you might look back and think, you know, I don't want to think much about my legacy. It's not been an easy life for me. It may be full of difficulties in relationships or finances or whatever it is. Maybe you've made a bunch of bad choices, and you just don't want to be remembered for those things. And sometimes you don't want to be remembered for anything. You just want to be gone. Just take me to glory, Lord. I'm done here. But you know what? Today's a new day, and the Lord has you here today because He's not finished with the work that He has called you to do. And so we're going to go through these things just with the time that we have, and just consider. I hope everyone has a handout. If you don't, Brother Paul in the back would be more than happy to give you one to follow along with us, so you can some fill in the blank to keep you awake. My brother Bill Whitley is worried there's a test at the end, but there's no test. This is an open book test, so hopefully the answers will be very easy for you to fill in, and then just stick in your Bible and refer back to. So we're going to kind of be jumping all through the scriptures, but is everybody good? Oh, great. All right, just a few more handouts. So wonderful, wonderful. As I look out, it's just really encouraging to see so many out this morning. I don't see too many empty seats, so that's a blessing that folks are interested in coming out and hearing God's Word spoken. So, all right. A few more. Well, as Brother Paul is doing that, let's just jump on in here. The very first thing that I believe I want to teach my children, and I want to practice myself. Remember, if I'm going to leave this legacy, I've got to live this legacy out, is to love God. We need to love God. And what does the scripture say about loving God? Well, Mark 12:30 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." If we don't love God, everything we do is going to be out of sorts. Everything. Grace got a camera for her graduation, and she takes pictures of everything. And she shows us some of her pictures. And every once in a while, I'll hear her say, "I can't get focused on this, the one thing I'm trying to focus on. There's too many other things around that the camera is picking up focus on." And so we have to be focused on God, focused on Christ, His Son, if everything else is going to be in focus for us. That's where it's got to begin in our own lives. And so I pray that my kids and those around me will see that I love God and that He is foremost in my life. That the things I do and the way I live my life and the steps I take and the thoughts I have and the words that of encouragement that are that I have opportunity, people will sense that something's different about this guy. What is it? Now don't think that I've got, once again, all these things figured out. I'm stumbling along with a bunch of them. And some of them I'm not even hitting, but they're goals for me. And I know through the power of the Spirit of God that lives in every believer, I can do these things. On my own, I could give a good college effort, but it would fall short, wouldn't it? So the power of God through the Holy Spirit is in me to help me love God. The scripture in Psalm says that the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. And so many of us think, well, that's good because I need a new car, a fancy one. A 2012 model. That's what we think. But see, that's the flesh coming out in us. What we want to do, God wants to give us desires that mean something towards Him. So if we accept the desires that He's put in our heart, guess what? He's going to give them to us. And it may be a very difficult life. It may be a challenge of health struggles or whatever it is. But know that God is working through us. He's working in us to glorify Himself. We have to love God just like the Lord Jesus commanded us to. Well, secondly, love God's Word. Love God's Word. I think Brother Cecil prayed this morning about the Word of God being opened and that it would be poured into our hearts. And that's what we need to do. We need to spend time in God's Word. What does the Scripture say? It says a lot about loving God. A lot about loving God's Word. Here in Psalm 119, really the whole Psalm 119, speaks of God's Word. But I'm going to read this small passage here. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. We have got to spend time in God's word. You know, I have to encourage you, and I have to encourage myself. Sometimes I spend so much time talking about being in God's Word, I have convinced myself that I'm in God's Word. And then I sit there and go, Nisi, have you seen my Bible? I can't find it. I know I had it on Sunday. Church is tonight. I got to have my Bible. You see, we do that to ourselves. We talk about it and we give ourselves this thought of, oh, I'm doing it. But we really need to think back. And what I encourage you to do about loving God's Word is when you read a passage of Scripture, tell somebody about it. They don't want to know all the Greek and the Hebrew. You don't even know it. I don't know it either. But just find one little thing in there that God has spoken to you about, and you see somebody and say, you know what? I was reading in the Psalms today, and it says that God loves us. Isn't that good? It's good news. I've encouraged you to do this in the past, and I've encouraged myself when you go to the grocery store, encourage that grocery worker. Encourage the janitor in the bathroom. Tell them, you know, God loves you. You're doing a good job in here. That encouragement that we have to give only because we've been time in God's Word. Not because we've watched Dr. Phil, and not because of him, you know. We've been stirred up to share the good news of God and what He's done for us at the cross of Calvary through His Son. We need to be in His Word, because if it's coming in and it's going out. It's coming into us and it's going out to those around us. And you don't have to, I don't know if I shared this with you. You know what? I'm a big Packers fan now. It didn't take me long to give up on the Carolina Panthers after their last season and after the Packers won the Super Bowl. Man, I was chanting, go Pack, go. So, you know what? I know very little about the Packers. I know they're in Green Bay. I know they're in Lambeau Field. And I'm not even sure if their quarterback's still Aaron Rodgers. But I hope nobody in Wausau hears this message, okay? Because they need to know I at least pull for their quarterback. I know not a whole lot about the Packers. But you know what? I can talk about the Packers a little bit. I can go up to people and I can tell them, hey, man, how about that game yesterday? And I don't know anything about the stats. And you know what? I don't know everything there is to know about God's Word, but I can talk a little bit about it. You can too, if you spend a little time in it, reading it, considering it, meditating on it. I want my kids to be able to look at me and say, my dad loves God's Word. He talks about it all the time. I wish he'd give it up for a few minutes. Take a breath. They haven't said that yet, but I'm hoping that'd be my goal, to love God's Word. Wouldn't that be a great legacy to leave to those around you? Well, thirdly, Jesus Christ is the only way for forgiveness of sins and eternal life. He's the only way. His death on the cross of Calvary made us right with the Father. Well, We have to accept that. There's work on our part. The work, the disciples said, what is the work that we must do, Lord Jesus? And he said, the work that God requires of you, because we talk about a no-work salvation, right? Well, the only work required, Jesus said, is to believe in the one whom he sent. That's what the scripture tells us. It's a faith relationship, believing that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he came upon earth and lived among us, taught us how to live and love one another, and he went to a cross and he died, and the wrath of his Father fell out on him, not for his sin, but for our sin. That he died on that cross and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again and he ascended back up to the Father at the right hand of God. We celebrated that just a little bit ago in the other room as we celebrated the Lord's Supper. We broke bread and drank the cup and we remembered him. This one, the only one, we have a way of salvation. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I don't know much about taxes other than I have to pay them. And I don't know a lot about the government except it seems to be in a mess. But one thing I hear a lot about is loopholes. I hear a lot about, oh, there's a loophole that this guy worked his way in and he was able to not pay as much taxes here and all that. You know what? There's no loopholes in the gospel. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. No man, in simple faith, believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins. The Holy Spirit of God then indwells you and makes you a new creation. That's good news. I pray that those around me and that my kids will recognize that and say, my dad or Eric was a man who believed that Jesus Christ was the only way. And you know what? Your list may look a little different. It may not be any of these things. I hope that some of them are on there. But maybe your list is 50 things. I'm just trying to get 10 down. I probably should have made this 5, but this next one is very important to me. Love people. I want those around me to know that I love people. The scripture tells us, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to, what's the word? All. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. We need to love people. You read the scriptures and you read the Lord Jesus and his life. What can it be wrapped up in? In one word, love. This was a man who loved people. He loved them. He loved the ones that hated him. He loved the ones that had rejected him. He loved the ones that smelt bad and were living a life of impurity and debauchery. He loved them. We need to love our spouse. I pray that my kids know that I love their mama. I was up in Wausau and at a pastor's breakfast, and a guy was reading this thing, and he said, the greatest gift you can give to your children is to love, he was talking to a bunch of guys, is to love their mom. That's the greatest gift, to love their mom. And then certainly as wives, to love your husbands. We know that Paul encouraged Timothy, tell the older women to teach the younger women to love their husbands. We need to love our spouses. And of course, here in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Well, who else should we love? We should love our children. Psalm 103:13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And then another passage of scripture out of Ephesians 6:3, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Loving your children doesn't mean giving them everything they want, does it? No. I mean, because when your kids say to you, hey, dad, hey, mom, can I go out and play outside for a little while? Well, where are you going? Well, I was thinking about heading out on I-40. It's where all the kids are hanging out. Well, okay. We would never do that. We'd say, absolutely not. You're not going out to I-40. Why would we say that to them? Well, we love them. Do they understand it at the time? Not always. Even when they get older, sometimes they don't understand, do they? When we look and we can pull from our own experiences as parents and grandparents and encourage our kids and instruct them and sometimes discipline them, and they think, you're an old dude, you're 42, you're practically in the grave, right? What do you know? What do you know? But you know what? We love our kids, and we have to instruct them and discipline them because we love them. What does God do to us? Boy, He chastens those He loves. Man, I have been in the Lord's woodshed before. It's a tough place to be. It's a tough place, and He's very creative, isn't He? How He disciplines us. You know why He disciplines us? Because He loves us. Who else should we love? Well, we should love God's family. Look what Paul wrote to the church there in Thessalonica. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need of anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. We need to love our family. This is the family of God. The Lord has brought all those who meet here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel in Greensboro, North Carolina. He's brought you to this fellowship, into this part, this local body, as a part of the whole universal family of God. And we are called to love one another. And like a lot of family members, sometimes we're tough to love, aren't we? But God says, love each other. The church there at Thessalonica was doing a great job. And Paul said, you're doing good, but don't quit loving each other. Don't quit loving each other. What else? How about our neighbors? Remember the story about the Good Samaritan? Luke 10. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn, took care of him. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Who is our neighbor? Whoever's around us. Whatever that need is, we need to meet it. Not just the physical need. Certainly there are physical needs that need to be met. But why would we meet a physical need without sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and offering Him as He has offered Himself, and let them know? Your life physically may not change after this encounter and I give you this $10 or buy you a meal or whatever it is or put some gas in your car. But let me tell you someone that if you accept them into your life, eternally your life will change. You're a new creation. God is now your Father. It's good news. We need to love our neighbor. We need to love the poor and the needy. We need to care for them. God loves the poor. He loves the needy. Look what He says here. In Proverbs 14:31, he who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. Proverbs 31:20, she extends her hand to the poor and stretches out her hands to the needy. We need to care for those who are hurting around us. We are such blessed people. Look at us. We're all dressed and we've come in this morning and we're doing well. And yet there are those who didn't have breakfast this morning. There are those who slept out under the stars last night, not because they wanted to, because they had nowhere to go. We have the good news of Jesus Christ. It is a cup of cold water. I pray that you give them one physically and spiritually. Share the good news of Jesus with the hurting. They are all over this city. They're all over the city. I went with my brother yesterday, Mark, into an area just to meet some folks, pass out a couple of MTYC brochures about kids going to camp. And it can be a challenging thing. It can be a challenging thing. And sometimes we remove all that from our minds because we don't want to think about it. But you know what? It's right here in our own backyard. It's in the backyard of Wausau, Wisconsin. People are in need. I pray that you will respond to God's calling in your life to encourage them and love those people. Fifthly, be a prayer warrior. I pray that my kids will see that I believe in prayer, that it's important to me. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, I can remember as a boy, my dad had gotten me a little mini bike. I don't know if you remember getting me that mini bike or not, but we had problems with a tire. A tire was blown out, and he was there. It was late one night, and he had worked all day, and he was tired. And we were out sitting in the garage, and he's trying to get this tire put on this mini bike for me. And it just didn't happen. It just didn't going on. And I could see him getting a little frustrated, understandably, and me being impatient. And he said, you know what, let's just take a minute to pray. Okay. So we pray for the Lord's help of patience and guidance just to put, you know, that mini bike wheel back on. And I pray that my kids see me as one who prays, not in the situation where the old joke where someone gets a phone call and says, you know, your aunt Lou Ann is sick and she's in the hospital and we need you to pray for her. And the responder on the other end goes, pray for her? Has it gotten that bad? Because that's what happens sometimes. We just pray when things are falling apart around us instead of it just being a normal, ongoing conversation with the Lord. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Sixthly, is that a word? Sixthly? Okay, just making sure you're awake. When God speaks, listen and obey. Listen to what Mary did when the angel came and told her she was going to give birth to the Holy One of Israel. She said, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. It's incredible faith. The Lord spoke and she responded. And sometimes we desperately are seeking the Lord's will in our life. And I believe that once we have begun to accomplish the easy things that are black and white in Scripture, then He'll start revealing Himself more and more to us. I ask couples when they come to me who are struggling in their faith or struggling with their relationship, and I say, how's your relationship with the Lord going in sense of how are you doing and what God has called you to do? Well, I'm trying to find what He's calling me to do, Eric. Well, the part here that's written right here in the Scripture, when it says, do this, be holy as I am holy, be sanctified, separate yourself, how's that going? Well, when did that get put in there? It's been in there. Spend time in God's Word. Our time's slipping. Listen here to Simon Peter. Simon answered and said to the Lord Jesus, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. Didn't make any sense. He'd been out, he'd worked, and nothing caught, but Jesus said, let down the nets. And you know what? Peter said, whatever you say. And sometimes we have to put our hands up with the Lord and go, whatever you say, I trust you. I don't get it, I don't understand, but I trust you and you alone. Number seven, I tell my kids, work hard. Work hard. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Oh boy, that's a whole nother sermon. We better move on. Number eight, do not pursue earthly gain over heavenly treasures. Do not pursue earthly gain over heavenly treasures. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, if the Lord calls you to go sell your house this afternoon and your car, well, good luck selling your house because nobody's buying any. But if He calls you to go sell your house and live in a trailer, the one that Claiborne was looking for up at Mountaintop, and you just want to buy that little camper and move it, well, that's fine. But now, listen, we need to understand that it's okay to have earthly possessions. It's okay to have these things, but don't let them drive your life. Don't let them be the forefront of everything you're thinking of. Where all you want is this or that, or you're pursuing that relationship, and you can't think, and all of a sudden God's lost in the clouds back behind you somewhere. Do not pursue earthly gain over earthly treasures. Be content in the Lord. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Paul wrote that to the church at Philippi. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. That's a prayer. I haven't pulled all that one together yet. If we have food and covering, we're content. How could someone be content with just food and covering? Because they have the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. He leads them, guides them. He is their everything. He is their everything. I'm zipping through these because, is this clock right? Yeah, Todd said, he's the only one. Todd said, yes. Submit to authority. 1 Peter, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. I tell you, my kids don't do everything right, and I don't do everything right, that's for sure. But I feel like my mom and dad taught me to respect my elders. And I've tried to teach that to my kids. And I was so encouraged when we got up to Wausau that I heard Grace and Hope, and they got into their classroom. I think Hope was the one that told me. She was in her classroom the first day, and the guy was taking roll, and he said, Hope Shelley. And she said, yes, sir. And he stopped class and said, students, take note. Take note. You know, and my girls, they address our friends up in Wausau as Mr. Phil, Mr. Mark. Just disrespect. It's a respectful thing. And I want people around me to know that I want to respect them. I want to respect everyone the same. I want to shake the homeless man's hand just like I do the bank president. And lastly, enjoy life. Enjoy life. Oh, don't get caught up in the difficulties. Things are hard. Life is challenging. And it can weigh heavy upon you. But don't, you know, I'm not saying you just can shake it off and move on. I understand that depression is real. I remember when I was down with back surgery. And man, I got depressed. I was discouraged because I couldn't do the things I had been doing. And I couldn't just shake it. I couldn't. So I don't mean to make light of it, but enjoy your life. Don't walk around, you know, looking like you've been, what's that funny thing people say about being weaned on a dill pickle? Is that what it is? Yeah, don't walk around like you've been weaned on a dill pickle. And enjoy life. Smile. Share a smile and encourage people. Look at the Lord Jesus, what he said. I came that they may have life. And how should they have it? Abundantly. Abundantly. I love life. I want to enjoy every moment of it. And there's difficult days. I wake up and I don't feel good, or difficult things happen. But you know what? I enjoy life. And look at this last verse. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. That goes back on the whole contented thing. Who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Man, life is good. I don't mean to just fluff over the hardships of life and the hard things that happen and come our way, but enjoy every moment. You know, think about how it could be. Think about how it could be. You know, you get your coffee. My mom loves hot coffee. You know, and we think, and I like hot coffee too. But you get the coffee and you think, hey. Coffee's not hot enough. I want it hotter. You know, we get frustrated because my car's, you know, clunk a little bit, you know, and it's not doing quite what it wanted to do. Or I don't have the shirts I want to have or the clothes. I mean, and I look in my closet. I go, look at all these clothes. I don't need all these clothes. Let's give them away. Be done with them. I don't know. Of course, Denise is like, hey, don't give any more clothes away because I keep wearing the same clothes over and over. Anyway, enjoy life. Enjoy life because God is your Father. If you know His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Him, you'll have a full life. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But if you can live this legacy, live this book out. You know, Sonny shared something with me at breakfast yesterday morning, which I'm still kind of considering and thinking about. Are you in here, Sonny? He's somewhere. There he is. Sonny said he had heard from a guy. He said, if you study a subject or read a subject 30 minutes a day for 3 years, you'll be an expert at that subject. And that just stuck with me, Sugi. It stuck with me because I've been thinking, 30 minutes a day, how much of God's Word could I read in 30 minutes and give up a silly sitcom on TV, accomplishing nothing? 30 minutes a day in God's Word for 3 years? And be an expert on God's Word? Know Him better? What a challenge. That's the life that I want to live. That's the legacy I want to leave to my family and those around me. Not one who lived a perfect life, that's for sure, but serving a perfect and loving Savior, a forgiving Savior. And I pray that that's what your desire is today. Today is a new day. You know what? Yesterday's gone. Forget about it. Only look back for a moment and think, I'm glad I'm not there anymore. I'm glad I'm here today. God's grace is real. It has reached all the way down to your deepest, worst transgression, and He's pulled you up out of the muck. Amen. He's pulled you out of the mire. Amen. He's put you on the rock so that you can live a life that is pleasing to Him, not yourself. You know what? You're dead to yourself. You were crucified on the cross of Calvary, and you don't have to worry about all that old. It's all gone. Their baggage, it's back there. You don't have to pick it up. Don't pick up those bags of failures anymore. Today's a new day. Today is a new day of grace. His mercies are new every day. Today your legacy begins. Today, right now, you confess anew before a holy God who says, I love you. I want the best for you. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to enjoy my people. I want you to love those around you. I want you to read my word. I want you to love me more than anything this life has to offer. 30 minutes a day in God's Word? How long have many of us been saved? Oh, I'm ashamed. I feel so ashamed. But you know what God says? I love you anyway. I love you. I love you. I love you. That's what He says. You know, we were with the family yesterday. And oh my word, Mitchell and Heather have been steady going here. We got babies all over the place. One for everybody. And they saw an empty pair of arms yesterday, so they said, we're having another one. No empty arms in the Shelley family. Everybody's going to have a baby. And, oh, wasn't it great to pick those baby ups? And Josh and Danielle are steady going too. Holding babies. And I love Mitchell was holding Savannah, and she would just put her head on her. You know, and I think, is that my relationship with God? Can I just crawl up in His lap and put my head on His shoulder and know that I'm secure? Oh, that's a good life. That's a good life. Father, we thank You for loving us to such extremes. As we celebrated Your Son earlier this morning and continue to celebrate Him, and we think about our own life, Lord, I pray that the life we live, the journey that we live and walk on this path of life that You've put us on, that it would be pleasing to You. Help us to fix our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. May those around us see a light, the light of Christ Jesus in a dark, dark world. I pray that people around us would remember us for our love for You, the way we loved people, the way we loved the hurting and the poor and the needy. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your great sacrifice on the cross of Calvary in perfect obedience to Your Father. We submit ourselves. We surrender ourselves to You afresh today. I pray for those in the audience today who have just been toying with this whole thing, playing with You, Father, never truly accepting Your Son. I pray that right now in the stillness, in the quietness, as the Holy Spirit is working mightily in the hearts of those who are here, I pray that they might yield to You, Father, accepting Jesus, knowing that they will be a new creation, sins cleansed, washed by the blood of the Holy One of Israel, the Holy Lamb of God. And it's in His name we pray this, the name of Jesus, the name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. Be encouraged in the Lord, brothers and sisters.